Well, tonight, for the few minutes that we have left, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, would you turn to 1 Kings chapter 18? 1 Kings chapter 18. This morning we had 67 verses. Tonight we have 6. And I think this is very appropriate. Do you see the heading in your Bible for 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 41? What's the heading in the Bible? Amen. He has sent the rain today. The Lord sends rain. And I want to read these verses and just make some applications tonight. It's a brief message. But my heart is very burdened for a lot of things and for a lot of people. And I know I put a post on our men's group, you know, this week, group app. Our men have a group me app. Our community group has a group me app. Our deacons have a group me app. And I think I shared it on everything. And my heart is very burdened for my family, for this faith family, for the University of Mobile, for the Southern Baptist Convention, for our nation. I mean, we have actual living, breathing, elected political officials who think it's okay to take the life of a baby. We are living in very perilous, evil, wicked times. And the biggest thing we can do is pray. Kind of like Abraham's servant prayed this morning when he prayed for success for his mission. Well, our mission is not to find a wife for Isaac. But our mission is to help find the bride of Christ. That's evangelism. And I've been in touch with Brother Ed Lacey, who does what's called Christ-centered evangelism. And we're going to have him come and do an intensive training for us in his ministry, Christ-centered evangelism. We're just going to work out. I'm going to talk about this at our pastor's meeting tomorrow with Pastor Jared and Pastor Stephen. And we're going to try to figure out the best way to do this. But we need to be fully equipped in telling the good news of Jesus, doing God's evangelism God's way, as he says. And Brother Lacey just got back from India last week. He taught 150 pastors this training in evangelism. And I've listened to some of it online. It's very God-centered, very Christ-exalting. And I think our people will eat it up. And I pray that it will transform who we are. Not only must we know how to nurture the disciples, we have to be able to see God convert the lost into disciples, ready, hungry for the word. If they're not hungry for the word, they're not going to receive the word. And so we want to roll that out later this spring, Lord willing. The sooner the better. We'll finish our disciple-making courses that are in place right now, come back and do evangelism. And then when you put those two things together, we have the complete package. We have the evangelism component, and we have the disciple-making component, which begins once the person has been saved. And so I'm excited about that. But I am burdened for a lot of reasons. Let me read the verses tonight. And tonight will be, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to speak from my heart, because you don't need anything from my heart. We need God's word. Even though it'll be brief, you still need God's word. I get a little antsy when a preacher says, well, you know, I'm going to put the Bible down. I'm just going to speak to you from my heart. Well, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can even know his own heart? So you don't need my heart. You need God's word even tonight in a briefer portion. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. This is right after, you know, Elijah has had the contest with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah on Mount Carmel that you saw a picture of there in Annalise's slides. Here we go. Verse 41, and Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of the rushing of rain. Now, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. Now, living in Mobile, we can't imagine that, all right? It rains every 3.5 hours here. So, but it had not rained here for 3.5 years. But Elijah says, go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of the rushing of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again. And he did it 7 times. And at the 7th time, he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Tonight, we're going to pray momentarily. I'm going to leave off my introduction that I had tonight. Rob Jackson actually used some of it in one of his revival messages a few weekends ago concerning Jeremiah Lanphier. But you remember, he's a civilian, he's a layman, he's a businessman burdened by God to do something back in 1857. So he started a noonday prayer meeting in New York City, right? And of course, the first day, once he'd put out invitations, come when you can, leave when you must, the first day he prayed by himself, and by the end of the hour, there were 6 other people that had joined him. The second week, there were 30 people who gathered to pray in that room with him. And by the end of October, two large rooms were filled with people praying. By March 1858, there were 6,000 people praying in New York City for God to move and send revival and to save hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And this revival spread throughout other cities in America. And by May 1858, 50,000 people had trusted Christ in New York City alone. 50,000 people. 1 million people were saved in 18 months. And we look back to what's called the prayer revival of 1857. Prayer is important. And so if we're going to be praying people, we need to understand 3 things. And you'll maybe jot these down and you can think and develop these further. Number one, we need to stand on the promises of God. We hear a lot of that as we're preaching through Genesis, but it's just what the Bible teaches. We must stand on the promises of God. In verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of the rushing of rain. You see, Elijah knew stuff that other people didn't know, because Elijah heard the voice of God speaking to him. Elijah was God's man. Elijah was God's prophet. And so God would speak to Elijah. The first time we meet Elijah on the pages of Scripture, if you'll flip back to 1 Kings 17, verse 1, now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. So we see Elijah march in, and he took the key of faith, and he locked the window of heaven, and he announced to King Ahab, hey, it's not going to rain. There won't even be dew, okay, until God gives me the word. He took the key of faith, and he locked the window of heaven, and there was no rain for and 1.5 years. Death began to cover the nation of Israel like a blanket. The streams dried up. The grass withered up. You know, 3.5 years of God's judgment on his people because of their idolatry and their sin. God is being merciful to us for some reason in this nation. When you have killed as many innocent babies on the altar of Moloch as we have, way more than the Israelites ever did. And we're not having a drought right now. Now, his other option is flood, which that might be where he's going. But he promised he would never destroy the world with a flood. But he didn't say he wouldn't destroy Mobile with one. But my point for us to seriously consider is we have a very gracious God. And you and I need to stand on the promises of God, just like Elijah did in his day. And we've got way more of the Word of God than he had. Now, number two, and I have to move along tonight. We need to kneel in prayer to God. Number one, we stand on the promises of God. That's what Elijah was doing. And number two, we need to kneel in prayer to God. Or before God. Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. What do you expect the godless people to do? He went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he prayed. He prayed. Is there anyone here that would like to show us that you can do that? Is there anybody here that would come up and say, I can put my face between my knees and show you what this looked like? Is there anybody that wants to do that or can do that? Well, come up, baby, if you can do that. I asked some of our teenage girls before the service. They said, no, I can't do that. Come on up, Mary Grace. All right, so Elijah, he bowed down, all right, and then he put his head between his knees, and he prayed. Now, if I did that, go ahead and keep your head down. That's right, go ahead, show me how to do it now. All right, if I go any further, you'll have to call 911, all right? I can't do it. I love you, baby. Thank you, sweet pea. All right, that's good. The point is, Elijah was broken before his God. And way before there was ever one drop of rain to fall from the sky, there were tears, I believe, that were streaming from his face. With him, he was broken on his face before God, pleading with God to send the rain that was so needed. He was poured out like a jar of water. He was just a broken man. And if there's anything that I see in myself and in churches today, I don't see a lot of brokenness. I don't see a lot of weeping. I don't see people concerned enough to invest their time in getting on their faces and praying for God to save people. Who's your one? Who will you pray for? For God to get a hold of their heart by his grace and begin that good work in them. Who's your one? You'll never win the many till you first win the one. Are we willing tonight to stand on the promises of God, to kneel in prayer to God? Elijah did that, what Mary Grace demonstrated for us. And he looks up to his servant and he says, okay, do you see anything? And the servant runs over the edge of the Mount Carmel. And he looks out over the sea and doesn't see anything. There's nothing, sir. So he prays some more. And he says, what do you see now? Don't see anything, sir. Pray it again. Seven times Elijah prays. And on the seventh time, the servant says, you know, I think, sir, I see a little cloud like a man's hand rising up out of the sea. And I love what one commentator, I don't know his name, but one commentator years ago that I'd heard or read said, it was as, you know, Elijah prayed so persistently for God to touch the heavens and send the rain that he left his handprint on the sky. And my question as I was preparing this afternoon and put on Facebook, when I put that quote on Facebook, was, where's your hand? Where's yours? Where would your handprint be found? And for many in our churches, it may be on a, you know, and there's nothing wrong with praying for jobs and for medical. There's nothing wrong with that. But we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are here on this earth to realize that prayer is a wartime walkie-talkie, and we're here to be engaging in the spiritual battle for the souls of men, women, and young people. We're not here to play, and we're not here just to be, appeased and pleased. We are here as soldiers in a battle to be equipped and to be energized and to get the strategy from headquarters, which is heaven, and to hear the marching orders in God's word. And for us to do that, we've got to know the promises and stand on the promises, and we must be in communication with our commander-in-chief. We must learn to kneel in prayer to God. It is only then that, God bless you, it is only then that we can run in the power of God. And until we can do these three simple things, which basically is a life of abiding in Christ. And so we abide in His Word, John 15. We abide in prayer, John 15. We abide in the truth that we are loved by God as saved men and women. And there's nothing we do to make Him love us. And there's nothing that we do to make Him love us less. We must grasp the basic truths of Christianity. Stand on the promises of God. Kneel in prayer to God. And then He engages us and energizes us, anoints us to run in the power of God. And what we need most are men, women, and young people who will, when school goes back in session, and for most of us, it's out this week. Hallelujah. Everybody needs a break. Amen. But when we go back as sharers of the good news of Jesus Christ. We have friends at school. We have co-workers at work. We have brothers and sisters and moms and dads and sons and daughters and grandchildren who need Christ. And my appeal tonight is for us to pray. For us to pray. And I'm going to ask Delton, of course, to come up, and our pianist and keyboard player, Miss Joy and Miss Michelle, and we're going to have our response time tonight. We need to pray. We need to pray big time, ladies and gentlemen. this week, God just broke my heart. And I shared this. If you're on our men's app, and we hope that every man here has this. Brothers, my heart is broken tonight. Men are designed by God to be leaders marked by holiness, faithfulness, and Christ-likeness. Wisdom is calling. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Proverbs 5:21. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. 2 Samuel 11:27c. May we cry out to God the inspired words of Psalm 51 and seek the Lord with all of our hearts. We all need to remember that secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Hallelujah. And tonight, I just wanted to share that with you, with us. We need to pray for our own hearts, for our own families, for our own community groups, and our own church, and for our community, and our city. For the University of Mobile, as we seek a new president. Our nation. There are things that have happened this week and last week that I know many of you would have said would never, you just never dreamed in a million years that something like that would happen in America. And yet it has. And God has a plan. We call it the Great Commission, meaning that you and I are to be partners with God in something that's really big. And that big thing we're to be a part of is making disciples of all people. And so tonight, I invite you, if you're here and you say, Pastor Jay, I want to be saved. I want to come for baptism. I want to come for membership. I want to just kneel and pray where I'm seated. I want to come to the front and kneel and pray. We need to stand on the promises of God, kneel in prayer to God. Then we can run in the power of God, like Elijah did. Too oftentimes we're trying to do so many things, but we don't know the Word, and we're not standing on the Word, and we certainly haven't spent time in His presence seeking His face. And that's what I ask you to do tonight, as the Lord prompts your heart. So why don't we stand together? Let's do that. And tonight you can respond as the Spirit of God prompts you. But I'll be here at the front. Some of us will be here at the front to pray with you tonight as the Lord leads you.